All right, good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, April 25th. I can't believe it already. 2:03 p.m. at our legal session. And we have Commissioner here out on ONC business. Commissioners Gannon and Morgan are here. So first up on our agenda from legal counsel is order number 2017-020 in the matter of authorization of the sale of county-owned land not in use for county purposes to prior owner of record and quitclaim deed for Josephine County to Thomas E. Green and Kathleen Green. We also are joined by Treasurer Eve Arce.
All right, I'll say a few primary remarks. So the board originally considered this matter a couple weeks ago, I think, and the county acquired this property as part of the 2012 foreclosure process, property transferred to 2015, I think, right? Okay. And since that time, and, well...
2016,
okay.
Basically, it was a normal foreclosure, sent somebody out to look at it. They thought it was a shed, very nice shed, but a shed, couldn't see that it was occupied. So we went forward, took deed to it. Apparently the son, and of course we, nothing had been done with by property management to go look at it and put it on the list or anything. So we were just actually... After that is when we have a property manager. So and I'm not sure the timing, if Mike went out and looked at it or if the son got involved, talked to the guy and said, let's look at this. I'm not sure exactly that piece of it, but apparently the son got involved and said, hey, can we buy it back? What can we do about it? And it's like to say. And they came in with the cash. So we gave them the payoff to the end of the first of May, came in with cash, paid it, and I don't see any reason not to give it back to him. But the son is now involved, we'll keep paying attention, and tax will be paid.
Question? I have a question. Mm-hmm. This is it, I mean, what is the property, what kind of shape is the property in? Is it?
Yes, it's nice.
It's nice,
it's,
I mean,
not
it's,
trash.
Not, it's not
it's
like
not trash.
Cap joy or anything
no.
like that. So they were never ordered earlier to clean it up or vacate or anything like that. In your opinion, this is one, hey, we just forgot to pay the taxes or whatever, and now just bring it
Dad
up.
Dad got a little mental, got under the weather, you know, that type of thing where he couldn't take care of himself.
Okay.
Or wasn't taking very good care of himself. The son finally stepped in and said, okay, let's look and see
this
where you're at.
Wolf Creek.
This came before us before, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I thought last time we agreed to work with the son.
Yes.
Okay, so now we're at the next
one.
No, yeah,
exactly.
They came in,
yeah.
They paid the taxes, we're at the point where it says, yes, let's sign it back to them.
But
yeah.
That's what we...
I thought we already had to do that, yeah.
This is formal.
Exactly. So now, yeah, we're showing what the order is going to look like and the deed, which, if you decide to advance that to the business session next week, is what you'll be voting on.
Well, and how exciting that it actually happened,
yeah.
How we hoped.
Yes.
That it gets to stay with the family. It was just a matter of the family becoming aware and helping.
Yep.
Does it, it needs to be admin, or can it be? It'll probably be need to be admin. Okay. We don't need a motion to send it there, though, right?
No.
You're in agreement?
No.
All right.
No.
So, yeah, I'm good with that.
Who will speak to it?
I think we should make Simon speak to it, since he's the liaison and he's not here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, we had, as a board, already gone on this, so one of us could speak to it, I guess.
Yes, that's fine. It's, or if you want me to, I can.
Well,
I can recommend it.
Actually, let's have you do it, just for the sake of, so people can hear you out there.
Okay.
You're one of our electeds. It might be good for them to see.
Sure.
it also may pass up that, oh, yeah, you're
out
to do it. All you're trying to do
property.
Is take property
yeah.
and sell it. And this is how it should work, how it could work,
mm-hmm.
and is working fine.
Awesome. Cool. Well done.
All right,
so thank you. Order number 2017-021 in the matter of renewal of assignment and licensure for ambulance service within Josephine County. I thought we did this already, too.
You did? Well, this is the formal part of the process that, yes.
Okay.
It's really how much faith they have in you and I to bring us stuff that's already
yep.
been done.
Well, we but it was in a weekly business session already, too.
No, this is a separate issue. Okay. I think you actually, I think you might not have been at the meeting when we discussed that it was Dan and Simon.
Correct, but I remember it was on the agenda.
Yes. And so, as a consequence of that meeting, we are bringing you the formal order that would enact the 2-year extension.
Got it.
Which you may decide today to advance the business session.
That day.
So we're bringing you what the paperwork is going to look like today so you can look at it and say, okay, we get it. Now we're going to advance it to the business session. And
it has to be done by an order.
Yes.
Then why was it at a weekly business session before?
Previously, it was a general discussion.
Yeah.
You know, it was a weekly business session item.
Was it?
That
I wasn't there. I don't remember it being one.
Okay, that's fine. I thought it was. I'm fine with it going forward. I thought we had already dealt with it, so.
We don't have any documentation.
Can it go to consent if it's a renewal of a current contract?
It's not the renewal of the contract.
No. It's a new contract.
It's not a contract.
It's matching up administratively the ASA renewal and the contract renewal, which were off by 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. That you already told me about. I remember that now.
Yeah.
Okay. So we renewed the contract, and now this is the ASA.
The contract is up for renewal in 2 years. The ASA is up for renewal now.
So we're extending to 2 years to get them on the same cycle.
That's correct.
Exactly.
2 years.
So it comes on the same cycle as the renewal. Correct.
That's exactly right.
And that same week, I missed a general discussion on Tuesday and the weekly business on Wednesday, and I thought they went to the same one.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's where I'm confusing that. I was in other meetings during those same times that I was dealing with other things. No, I was dealing with
something else.
Yes, that nonprofit issue.
Yep. Okay,
so.
Do you have any concerns?
No, I don't have any concerns. I just know, do we move this forward? Do I make a motion to move it forward?
Well, they have the current ASA, do they not? So is that not a continuation of an extension of a current contract?
Assignment.
It's just an order. It's a board order. Are you just trying to decide if it should go on admin or consent?
Oh. Correct.
Yeah, never
I'm know. Thinking it should go on consent. If it's a continuation of an existing
that's
contract,
but not consent.
There's
that's
no
accurate.
Financial impact.
Yeah, it's accurate.
Okay.
I think
you'll
speak to that really?
Sure. Might as well throw myself under the bus since I started with Commissioner Harris.
Okay.
Unless you would like to, but I think it's fine to. Okay.
You can articulate it very well.
Once I'm on the same page as y'all. So, no hesitation from you?
I would just put it on consent, I guess, right?
Yeah, you can do that, I think, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think we need to hear anything about it.
Cool. Anything else on that one? All right, so order number 2017-022.
Thank you.
Are you involved with this one, too?
I'm not, but I'm just going to sit over here and listen.
In the matter of determination as to a dog impounded under the authority of ORS 609-155 for killing, wounding, injuring, chasing livestock, affirming the decision of hearings officer. So this is the original one we heard, and then we retracted, sent to a hearings officer, and now we're affirming the decision the hearings officer made.
That's correct.
The only concern that I had with the decision of the hearings officer is he did not include the veterinary bills
correct.
That the victim is due.
Yes, that's correct.
And
that's correct.
How do we rectify that?
I think that you probably are not postured to be able to do that at this stage in the process. The victims aren't considered a party to the case. They are assigned separate standing to sue the owner of the dog should they decide to recover fees that they lost and want recovered.
I thought when we were listening to it that he produced a bill for $249 and we said that needed to be paid.
Yeah.
Okay, but everything we did that day we voided 2 days later when we sent it to a hearings officer.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the order
was, officer didn't reinstate that.
That's
so therefore
that's not gonna be part of the order. And I've told the horse owners that, and they are disappointed, but they comprehend what's happened. They separately have retained counsel, not for this particular point of it, but there is ongoing property battle, property line battle, you could say, that they retained an attorney about. So the board's options basically at this point, because no appeal was filed, are to affirm the...
We have no choice.
Can the horse owner, can he have... There's the ability by the dog owner to appeal it to a higher court.
Yes.
Does he have the same...
The horse owner?
Yeah.
He's not a party. That's the difference.
He could bring a small claims action.
That's what the statutes generally describe.
Sue in small claims court.
Yeah.
Especially if he has a judgment.
Yes.
A copy of the claims officer's order.
I think in reality he's just going to eat it in terms of the expense. But that said, this is one volley in an ongoing war between these two adjoining property owners.
Mm-hmm.
So
that somehow doesn't seem right to me, but it is what it is, I guess.
I would say for future reference, if we have a hearings officer deal with these, we make sure that they get a list of all the fees that could possibly be imposed, including veterinary bills, and it'd be on a checklist that they'd be aware of when they go through the hearing. Mm-hmm.
Are we still in like $30 a day for the dog being incarcerated?
Yes, that's part of what the hearings officer ordered.
He did order that, but he didn't order the $250 for the $249 for the bill.
Not for the vet, because it's a $250 penalty as part of the order.
Where did the penalty go?
I think the animal, where... Were you going to say something?
It goes to the county. That was the only thing they haven't paid yet, apparently. And so your order includes that. It's just reiterating that the county hearings officer, the hearings officer ordered that, but it tells them where they're going to pay it.
And if they don't pay it, what's the outcome?
And then if it goes into the lien.
We record it with the clerk. Yes.
And that's also in the order.
Even if they're not property owners?
Mm-hmm. It'll follow them around.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of consolation, but it's what the statute allows us to do.
What latitude does the board have with that $250?
Oh, in terms of reimbursing the horse owner? Well, I think I could bring in finance, but I would think that you'd have latitude to assign money from either animal control fund or general fund. I would advise, though, that there is... even right now, a separate case involving an alpaca that was attacked by a dog. And there was a claim made on the dog license fund or the animal control fund for the county to reimburse the livestock owners. And that matter went to a hearing just as to whether the county would reimburse. And so if the county were to, in that case, send a request for reimbursement to a hearings officer, but then in this case simply reimburse the livestock owner, then I think the alpaca owners would be...
So technically the horse owners could ask for money out of that fund and get a hearing themselves.
Yeah. So the horse owners' options are that within 10 days of the attack, they have the option of petitioning the county for reimbursement for their expenses.
Which we're past that time frame.
Yes, we're past that time frame. The alpaca owners, I believe, did manage to make that time frame, and so therefore that has advanced to a hearings officer.
Could it not be actually argued that they did submit for reimbursement in the sense that they submitted us, part of the first hearing, all of their veterinary bills? And the county in that day ordered that they be paid. They did not know that they would have to turn around and file something separately when we send it to a separate hearing.
I know.
So I would suggest that they've actually submitted the bills within the 10 days.
The statute is rather particular about what they're supposed to submit. With not having it in front of me, I'd hesitate to try and paraphrase it too closely, but basically within 10 days they're supposed to submit a statement about the nature of the damages, as well as an affidavit or a statement from an impartial authority with their request. I think
submitted a letter.
Okay. Remember, there's a separate case in which people are, this is exactly what's at issue right now. And if the county takes two separate positions regarding reimbursing
all I'm saying
owners,
is offering the same hearing you offered the alpaca, because they did submit all that those paperwork within the 10 days.
They had the same option.
People come in and say, yeah, why are you paying them
Yeah.
And I'll pay, I should say they submitted a bid. Yeah. They submitted a bill at trial, or whatever you want to call it, to the Board of County Commissioners for $249.
I'm not saying pay them. I'm saying offer them the hearing. That's the same steps the alpaca people are getting as a hearing.
The alpaca people were operating within what the statute requires, whereas here...
I'm saying that if I think that within the same time frame, in that 10 days, they submitted for a hearing. And they submitted...
I don't have a record that they did, though.
But they, it was presented to us.
The dog owner submitted for a hearing.
But the owner submitted evidence, letters, statements.
Okay, well.
Vet bills.
Okay, well, it's a judgment call on the part of the board.
Remember the bill that the vet said that
Kane is
too spooked to get
as to what the law provides for, what the circumstances are, and that's about the best I can do.
Okay, well, like I said, I'll go back to my original question. So that $250 goes to the animal shelter fund, or where does it go?
Animal control fund.
I don't know.
We don't know. We can find out.
I don't think we should pay it out. I think they should have a hearing, just like the other people have a right to a hearing.
Can you look that up?
I did. I'm advising you as far as what my take on that is. That they were supposed to have filed a request within 10 days of the attack. I have no record that they did.
It's a crime or request?
It's a claim, yeah. A claim for reimbursement.
Is there a form
they
fill out? Is there a form they fill out, or is it a crime letter saying I want the money?
We don't have a form. The county doesn't have a claim form.
In the case of the alpaca, it was a letter basically saying I want the money.
There's a very specific set of statutes on how to do this.
So there is a remedy at law for them to pursue money for reimbursement from the county.
I have no evidence
that they ever pursued that.
I don't want to be a real thorn in your backside, but could you print out the specific set of statutes so we can look at it?
Yeah.
Because I'm having trouble. There's kind of a cloudy area. If there's a form, you didn't fill out a form 1040 SE7, and there is no form. And these people in the alpaca just sent a letter saying this is what it is.
Yeah.
And then basically, John
Bartlett,
they brought in all their stuff, plus all their evidence and their whatnot, and that was part of it. I'd call that submitting to be reimbursed for the you know, because that came up a couple times. Was there a veterinary involved? Yeah, we brought the bill in.
Okay.
So I'm having trouble on exactly why one, just a letter is sufficient in one, and yet actually producing a bill from the vet and saying, yeah, I need to get paid back for this, and we say, yes, okay, and then it goes to a hearing officer, and that wasn't even brought forward in the hearing office.
Last thing I got to say, I mean, you can ask me all day, but in all of my interactions, which have been many at this point with the Bartletts, and in all the documentation we have surrounding it, they've never made a claim on the animal control fund. I have no record of them ever making a claim, which they were supposed to file within 10 days. But that's basically what I know about that.
And, you know, maybe they're thinking that, you know, we didn't need to file with animal control. We filed our grievance with the Board of County Commissioner. They filed in our favor.
Okay.
That's where I'm struggling with this thing.
I guess I'm coming from the same standpoint. The paperwork that's required to be submitted within 10 days we saw.
Okay, fine. Well, do with it whatever you're going to do. That's the best advice I can give you. And when the alpaca owners contact you, then you'll have something prepared to be able to tell them. Because I suspect they will contact you if they feel that they've been treated separately from the other case.
But all they were offered was a hearing.
Yes.
That's all I'm suggesting is we offer the other ones a hearing for the bills that they submitted within the 10 days. So it's not giving any preferential treatment to either of them. The one got a hearing, the other one submitted the stuff but didn't get a hearing. So I would suggest that if they also, the Bartletts, were offered a hearing, that would put them on equal footing.
And do they hearing, if they get a hearing just to go to do the, are they get a hearing by the hearings officer? Not by the
That's
board.
Up to you. I mean, you can spend more money on a hearings officer, you can bring the Cron case back in front of the board. That's up to you. I mean, you're kind of making it up as you go along from my perspective. Be blunt. So, do it the way you want to do it. We can bring this back in a week. Think about it for a week. If you have something you want us to do now, we can do something now.
An executive session. Well.
I understand your frustration, Counselor, but you got to understand our frustration. To me, it sounds like the two are almost identical. One had submitted his stuff in time, actual invoices, and he thought when the board said, yes, you're going to get reimbursed for your vet bills, he thought it was over. I don't think he understood that he would have had to submit that bill to the hearings officer to be part of the trial. And I think that both of them, one did it in writing and the other one thought it was already done, because I certainly didn't understand it, and I was sitting here at the table. But I did understand that he thinks that he submitted his vet bill, and now we're going to go back and tell him, nope, you're on your own, because guess what? The dog prevailed, dog lives, your horse has got, you've got $250 where the vet bills that the dog actually did, and you're going to get reimbursed because of it, because you didn't fill out, and there's no form to fill out. But what he didn't do was write a letter to the hearings officer stating you wanted to be part of the case. I guess, is that true or not? I understand your frustration, and I think you think in your mind that you answered my question, and I don't think so, so don't take offense to that. Because I'm missing something here.
We can get to the statutes and get to the memo.
Let's start with that.
Let's go with that.
Do you want anything else in the meantime? You want us to contact them? And
no, I don't want you to do anything until we read the statutes and we make a decision as to what to do, and I think then we'll be okay with it. But right now, I'm hearing that, yes, everything was taken care of, but I'm not seeing that up here. And forgive me about my stupidity on this thing, but I just want what's fair. And if it, you know, if it's...
I don't think you're out of line, because you and I are hearing the same thing. So I don't think that, I mean, I want to get the information as well.
I think the information is next. And the county, we'll take next step.
I think the county has an opportunity to make a situation right.
Is there any time frame that we're going to run out of or violate or anything by going another week and you get the statutes to us and we get a chance to review? We may read the statute and say, you're right, nope, it's all done, said and done. Is there any time frame we're talking about here?
Are you talking about whether you go ahead with this order?
Yes.
Okay. I see it too, as two separate things. Because this order is adopting the hearing officer's decision that was made.
If we adopt the hearing officer's decision that is made, that the county gets $250, and that animal control gets their $30 a day, and the $250 goes to wherever, we don't know where it's going to go now.
Right.
But if it's not included in the hearings officer, he would have to appeal that. The John and family, the horse owner, would have to appeal that anyway. Is that a separate appeal?
He can't appeal.
He won't be able to appeal.
It's not a party.
If we find this, then he's stuck.
Well, under that order. I think you say, what's the board's alternative if they don't adopt the hearing officer's order to rehear it?
Then the way it would work is, instead of having a hearing, you take it to small claims court, which is kind of
so the statutes kind of expect anyway.
Yeah.
So we need to wait until we hear see what the statute says, I think, and get that memo.
Yeah.
Right. We got that memo, and do we have an opening on Thursday with the general discussion? So we can say thumbs up, thumbs down, let it go through, we're all set, bring this back to us then.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think he's saying if they wait a week to adopt the hearing officer's order, is it going to make any difference?
Let's see how that makes a difference.
Okay, I just didn't want there to be some 12-day time frame that said, nope, you didn't adopt it, so therefore it all gets thrown out.
Technically, there was only 4 days to file anything on the appeal, the order anyhow, so it's in effect whether we do anything or not. There was only 4 days to respond to the hearing. We should have had something in front of us within 4 days if we wanted to change anything. But having it outside of the 4 days, we're outside of the parameters of even changing anything or appealing it.
So if we do this today, it's all over with. $250 goes into wherever. But he can still file small claims.
Yes.
And one of the reasons...
Tomorrow, yeah.
And one of the reasons for the order for the board to adopt it is because that's what starts to toll that 21 days that they have to pay the $250.
Before we record it.
Yeah. And then if they don't pay it within that 21 days, we record it with the county clerk as a lien.
You're leaning the dog owner?
Leah Harp,
yes.
The keeper.
Yes.
Yes.
Is she flagged down with priors in you guys' system?
Yeah, and we report the other lady to the state as well. That's what the hearings officer
said. The keeper or the owner?
The owner.
Okay.
Bree.
Curious.
Rogers.
Well, 10-22, let's send it forward. Get it done and over with. I'm not happy with it. But, you know, maybe next time we'll do something a little different. But I still want to read the statute. You okay with that?
Yeah.
Commissioner? I still want to read the statute for my own knowledge.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're done with dogs.
Far from it. Far from it. And we do need a much more deliberate approach to these cases. Is our assessment coming out of this.
Should we start out next time with the hearings officer first and then...
I definitely recommend that.
We decide.
That could be our standard operating procedure, as these go to a hearing officer.
Yes. Technically it is, since
that
board order is still in place. It's just that that's...
amending that, though.
Yes.
Bring it up more current.
Update that.
So it should have been brought to us in the first place. It should have gone to a hearing officer. And the hearings officer should have a template of how to deal with dog orders, including veterinary bills, fees to the county, lodging fees, all that kind of stuff included as a template that the county requires for a hearings officer on these issues. My only concern with this circumstance is that we heard it. We saw the evidence from the owner of the horse, and we ruled that day that they were going to get paid for those fees. We then changed our minds and sent it to a hearings officer.
Yes.
They were compensated, and then we changed. So the fact that we had the information from them within that time frame.
I know. I would truly be in speculative mode as to whether if they had appealed that to the circuit court, whether that provision would be upheld.
They would absolutely be able to get restitution back.
Okay.
I don't know that it would have been for future vet bills, but certainly for the bill that occurred that day.
Like I say, I'm purely speculating on that. If Leah had appealed to the circuit court upstairs, the board may not have been upheld on that particular point. You know what I mean? Because they're not party to the case is the issue. The livestock owner is not an actual party. The dog owner is. But the lifestyle owner, it's not like they could appeal.
But just based on the 10 days from the incident, we as a board saw the veterinary's letter, the bill. Those things were submitted to the county, and we as a county said that needs to be compensated.
Okay.
So that's the concern that I have.
It's highlighted, this last point, it is highlighted by the fact that this exact issue is at stake right now in a separate case with the alpaca owners, the gardeners. And so it's very important, I would suggest, that the county take a articulatable, consistent position regarding reimbursing livestock owners in these cases.
For me, that's why the consistency is just that they be offered a hearing.
Mm.
That the stuff was submitted, they be offered a hearing. The other folks are asking for a hearing to be determined. That way, they both have the equal access to the hearing to prove whether or not they should be reimbursed. We're not making a decision for reimbursement. That both circumstances be in the same place. The bills and the letters from the vets from both of them, because we've seen both of them. One's resulting in a hearing, the other one we're saying go to small claims court. They should be given that same hearing, and then they're both on the equal status.
And on the alpaca one, if they want a hearing, do we pay for that hearing officer again?
Yeah, that's happened already. Yes. Yes, that went to a hearing last week. The board directed that one to go to a hearing.
Okay.
The board directed both cases to go to a hearings officer. You never heard the alpaca case. You directed it to a hearings officer before it even got to this stage. So that hearing has occurred.
How much is a hearing?
$600 at this point. What we need to do, though, is put out an RFP. That's our next logical step, like really soon. And we'll work with Diane on that to put out an RFP to get a kind of lineup of hearings officers.
So on the alpaca thing, we paid for $600 for a hearings officer to hear the alpaca case.
That's right.
By state law, they have
that's
a
right
to that hearing or process.
They do, and granted, and also county by board order, and granted, you know, for whatever it's, whether it's a cost benefit, I don't know, but the alpaca was putting a claim on the fund for something on a scale of $1,700. So there was something like real money at stake here. There was real money at stake. So I don't know if the board was aware of that. But
versus the other one.
Yeah, arguably. I mean, they're asking for more than the cost of the hearing.
Statutes. As long as we're not overrunning some time frame, because if I come back next week and say, stop, let it go the way it is, and prove the hearing officer findings, and you know, John Bartlett and family doesn't get anything for their the fact that this dog latched onto their horse and did damage. I just floored me that hearing officer wouldn't include that, unless he didn't know about it, or that Bartlett didn't bring it up, or something. I wasn't here. Were you here for the hearings officer then?
No, I didn't attend.
I was here.
Did the Bartlett's bring up their medical bills?
They did not bring up their medical bills, but I believe the hearings officer was given a complete package of information.
I'd love to see the back, complete packet of information that was given to the hearings officer, too. I don't mean to be micromanaging, but it just doesn't smell right to me. But however you want to do it, Kevin, I'm just boggled by mind that there's two or three different standards here.
And that's why, to me, the only fair thing is to offer them a hearing, just like the other group had, and then everybody's on the equal plane. I don't like spending money unnecessarily for a hearing, but we're down this road because we made some decisions, and I think that's caused the outcome to be where it's at versus, and one group going through the same thing has been advised, here's your rights to go through, the others presented the same information in the time frame, and it came to us, we made a ruling on it, and now we're offering a different outcome. And so, to me, the fair thing is they get a hearing. We're not saying they get money. They get a hearing, same as the other one gets a hearing. That, to me, is the fair thing.
From the financial side, Bartlett's left here from the board, from the hearing they had before the board. Bartlett's left here with a reasonable expectation that, you know, the dog was going to get put down and that they were going to get reimbursed for $250, and the people that had the dog are going to pay for however long the dog lives in incarceration, $35 a day or $33 a day or whatever it is. That was the expectation out of this board here. That was a reasonable expectation, because that's what we decreed. And then to get the whole thing turned around to where we get our $33 a day, they don't get their $250, that's out, and the dog lives, then, you know, if I was the Bartlett's, I'd never trust the system again, because it just overturned everything that this board did, which to the Bartlett's was fair, but to the Crown owners, it wasn't fair. Crown owners still have their dog. Crown owners still have to pay the storage fee, and that's fine. But the Crown owners don't have to pay the $250 to damage the horse. That their dog did. They stayed on that. And I don't know how that just kind of slipped through the cracks, unless the hearings officer had no idea that this dog did that kind of damage. And there wasn't anything submitted in that, unless he absolutely looked at it and said, well, I don't believe the dog did that. I don't know that. I wasn't here for the trial. So
his order is very exhaustive, and it's like this thick, and he has included with his order
all the evidence that he has. So. Mm-hmm.
Is that in here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So I can look through here and find out what was submitted to him and what his evidence was?
What he accepted as evidence, the documents. And then he has descriptions of what the verbal testimony was at the hearing also.
Okay.
And, yeah, my reading of the verbal descriptions didn't include the Bartlett's describing the veterinary bills. There is a copy, though, of the veterinary bill in the packet. I think David Pitts gave it to him. I mean, I'm understanding everything you're saying.
Okay.
What I believe has happened with the hearings officer was that he took a reading of the law, which was such that he didn't have the authority, or that the county didn't have the authority to assign the veterinary bills to the dog owner, because the livestock owner has an ultimate statutorily defined remedy.
Correct, which is going to that other hearing.
Yeah.
That's why I think that other hearing should be offered.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that, you know, even though the board did order, when you heard the Cron case, you did order that the veterinary bills be reimbursed. But if that had gone upstairs to the circuit court, I don't know if that would have been upheld. I think the dog owner likely would have challenged that. And, yeah, the court may have taken the same reading of the law that the hearings officer took and said the county doesn't have the authority to order that.
The statement from Dr. Todd Burchard for the $249 for care provided to a horse Hummer was submitted as evidence received at the hearing. It's listed on page 14 of the packet.
14, huh?
At least it's listed there. It might be later on in the packet, but it's listed as. And then on the next page, a written statement by Dr. Todd Burchard regarding examination. So, I believe the county received the information because it was provided from Officer Pitts to the Board of Commissioners within the 10 days from the incident. The information is required by that other statute.
Okay.
So if we pursued by allowing them that hearing, it would allow the process to be completed as the law allows. And then it's the same process as the other one. Nobody's getting undue treatment. The county received it. We just didn't have the hearing in a timely fashion. But we received the information because Officer Pitts is who provided it to us. Both, and they're both listed here as evidence in this hearing as well. Written statements by the doctor as well as the... They had a couple different things from the veterinary. They talked about the care and also the bill and the cost and all that kind of stuff.
There's a statement of expenses incurred for Cron by Southern Oregon Veterinary Specialty Center for $1,400 to fix the dog.
Yeah.
All in all, I heard it was closer to $3,000, but yeah. He was shot twice. Had pills. All right, Mr. Dan, what would you like to do?
Because this thing has been an absolute show game since the beginning. Probably the best thing to do in this is just to advise Mr. Bartlett of small claims, because that's his cheapest way out. It's the cheapest way out for the county. To say offer him another door that he can open behind door number three is small claims, if he would like to pursue it that way. You know, because maybe he wants his $250 back. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just assumed he's done with it and over with it and everything else.
Mary Barker.
It costs us $600 to get a hearings officer for him to collect $250. That doesn't make much sense either. If we could just write him a check for the $250 and the $249 for the $250 we're collecting,
that would put our other case at risk.
But
that's the issue.
Our other case at risk.
The gardeners would be very unhappy about that. Yes.
So, if Mr. Bartlett, Mr. and Mrs. Bartlett are okay with this, but I would offer them the small claims thing.
I've talked about that with Mary Bartlett. John Bartlett, as recently as I think yesterday, that was his most recent visit, and we've spoken repeatedly. His statement, his comprehension was that he said he was going to have to eat it, I think were his exact words. And he was disappointed about that, but at some piece, I think. Mary Bartlett, even before I started talking about what the statutes involve, was aware of the statute that designates a cause of action that assigns her a cause of action against the dog owner, that she could recover that in small claims. So she was aware of that even before I got there. Well, they've retained an attorney over this whole ongoing and escalating situation anyway. So she didn't tell me whether she's going to pursue that as part of that case or not. But basically, yeah, I mean, in terms of the grand scheme of things, this is not her. I'm not her spokesman by any means, but they got a lot bigger issues with these neighbors. This is not her biggest worry.
Okay, so it's an order affirming the decision of the hearings officer. I'm okay with it. Let's just move that forward.
Okay.
I don't like it, but I don't like the way the process was in the beginning.
Let's do consent.
We need to have a formal thing.
Yes.
And I also like Commissioner Morgan's on a checklist of things that the hearing officer needs to check off.
Yes.
That you know, did you look at the evidence regarding this dog and what the dog did and the damage? In the long run, we're stepping back 30,000 feet and looking at it. In my mind, the victim ended up being the bad guy, and the bad people ended up being the victim. And they're getting everything, but in, I think it's Isaiah says something about that in the Bible, that in the thing, whatever you think should happen, won't happen, and whatever you think should not have ever happened, will happen. And this is prime example of it. So that's beyond me. It's just frustrating to me as an elected official that this could have happened this way. Very frustrating.
All right. I think we can do better, and hopefully getting some standard operating procedures in place sooner than later would be appropriate. And I don't know what steps need to happen to do that, but I think they need to happen before the fiscal year is up if possible.
Yes, ASAP. So we'll work with animal control, overkill. And I think I would suggest the next step is going to be that we're going to put out an RFP to get a hearings officer, a lineup, if you will, of hearings officers.
Okay.
And it doesn't always have to cost $600.
Yeah.
You know, these are people we had to get on short notice. And I got them from the judge pro tem list.
Yeah.
So, but circumstances being what they were. Anyway, I think we could maybe get a better deal.
Okay.
And we'll pursue that through the RFP process. Does that sound all right to you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. So, moving forward, this update on County Road property auction.
Yes, the auction was this morning, so I thought someone would be curious about how it went. Anyone curious about how it went?
I am curious how it went.
Figured. All right, so, get ready. Of the properties listed, 14 were sold, which resulted in total revenue to the county of $822,550.
Holy man.
So.
The frustrating thing about that is I could fund my district attorney's office with that, or I could fund my juvenile department with that, and yet our hands are tied that we can only give that to parks or forestry. No offense.
Mostly. Yeah, you're right. So, and we are going to, as soon as possible, we're going to provide you with the actual breakdown of where the money goes. There are a number of different directions, parks and forestry being the principal too. There is some that's going to go to public works. There's going to be some that goes to various administrative
because of who
purposes.
For, yeah.
Exactly. So, anyway, we'll get you that breakdown as soon as we possibly can. Mike is downstairs busily collecting money. And that's pretty much the story.
Well,
so
that's successful, and that's that many properties back on the tax rolls.
Yes.
Which is the whole point. Is there anything we can do legislatively to lift the restrictions that those have to be routed to parks and forests?
At the legislative level?
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean,
is there any parts of that in the pie chart where the 58 cents goes? There's a whole bunch of little slices. Is there some of those we can relieve with that money, which would actually leave more left over for the sheriff?
So the reason that you designate them parks is so that, so the money comes back to parks without going out to the other taxing districts?
You'd get the 7 cents on the dollar is what it would be if you hadn't designated them. So you'd get 7% of 822,000 and the rest would go out to the remaining districts, by and large.
That's right.
I mean, I'm oversimplifying, but that's pretty much the story there. Yeah.
Perfectly good sense to me.
Yeah. So it is a statute that can be changed by the legislature if designation statute.
Let me follow the bouncing ball here.
So we would have got, just to put that in perspective, $65,000. 8 cents.
Of the pie. Yeah.
So 822 times 8 cents is $65,760.
Sounds right. Okay.
So we follow the balance.
Doesn't sound as exciting as, I mean, it is, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
frustrating.
We follow the bouncing ball here. So we put that into parks, like for upgrading Schroeder Park sewer system and stuff like that. Then the money that comes back from there goes to parks. If, in other words, the money, the revenue they would get out of having sewer sites instead of non-hookup sites, that parks benefits from that. That doesn't come back anywhere else other than just park. If we give it to the forestry division, that comes back in the form of timber sales.
Sure. Yes.
Then where does that go?
So we can only use the money for basically property purchases. We can't use it for operating.
Can't use it for reforestation.
Like so if we got in a situation where a piece of land was for sale, like adjacent to a current ownership, we could maybe go buy that one, consolidate the ownership, buy it for access, things of that nature. It's my understanding.
But you can't use it to plant more trees, replant for operations.
Not to my knowledge. Those all have to be budgeted in our budget.
It is what it is. Good job on the sale. That's nice.
Yep. So
Mike come down yet? He's probably floating clear up here.
No, he's going to be floating for a while.
That's good.
Well, yeah, and that's good because he's making his weight in gold valuable.
Mm-hmm. And a team effort, by the way, should be recognized. All. And yeah, that was definitely.
I'm not going to talk about your weight, though, but you are gold.
Good job.
Good job.
So,
I was disappointed.
Yes, sir.
As long as we're on this subject, something has reared its head recently and actually over the last year. There is a lot of different lists of lands that are the property of Josephine County, and who manages those lands or where they're supposedly at, forestry parks, public works. I've never seen two lists the same. And in fact, this morning was looking at a list of GIS or a map that GIS has put out that shows several tracts that we manage as somebody else's management. And it's very, very frustrating. I don't know whether I'm managing some park stuff. If Parks is taking some of those things and saying, sell them so that we can get the money, it's confusing, and I would recommend that somebody sits down and figures out what all those lands belong.
So the rule of thumb was size. There was a size component in of how many acres, but the other piece is if forestry can benefit from the property, forestry was supposed to be first priority over Parks, is what I've heard Commissioner Harris say in previous meetings. So there was a size element of how many acres. If it was under so many acres, it would go to parks. If it was over, it would go to forestry. And the other component is, if there's no forestry value, then it would be offloaded and potentially, you know, go to there. But honestly, I don't have a list of all those things, but I would recommend that you and Sarah get in a room and you duke it out.
Yeah.
But Doug, because...
I'm not the one that designates.
Are you talking about already designated?
To my understanding,
yeah, we have a list.
I can point out several examples on that current map right there that don't match my inventory.
Yeah, I know about the map, but we have a list.
And the problem I'm really struggling with is if it shows as parks and Sarah says sell it, and I don't know that it's going it could be my access to our trials. We just totally obliterated ourselves. It's too fragmented. There's too many lists. None of them match. Which one's accurate? Which one isn't? And the same with maps.
What do you think it'd take to clear that up?
I mean, somebody
man hour wise.
Somebody has to sit down and list what every one of those are and attribute those pieces to a map to match it and get rid of all the rest of the lists floating around.
Are you talking 300 pieces of parcel property, 200, 100?
There's a lot more forestry than there is anything else, I believe.
Well, we have the list. We've been keeping an ongoing list since the board started to designate parks. And the board didn't really designate as forests until this last September meeting. And I think you saw that whole list, right?
I've seen several lists.
From Mike. It should have been the Mike's list. But so we know which ones from that. But I don't know how, I'm not sure how the map gets done. I don't know the connection there.
Yeah, the one is Bob's getting it, evidently, noise in GIS from
assessor records.
Assessors.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Connie just started to update those assessor records so that it's clear when the board designated, you know, the order date, the order number, and whether it was a designated park or forest.
I think all of the departments need to get in a room and discuss all of those, because I can show you several tracts that the tract itself is forestry, but there's a flag lot that's access. It's under Public Works. And if Public Works says get rid of that thing,
you'd be buying it.
But that's where you, I was, let me interrupt.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, if there's a list that legal has and it's the list, you're the only one who would know which ones you need or not. And so it would be appropriate for you to go through and flag ones that if they're listed under Public Works or Parks and that they're critical to what you're doing, highlight them so we can make an adjustment. Or we can make sure that Public Works and Parks don't necessarily sell them out from underneath you when you need them. We're not going to know that information that you know from working in the field. And the best way to deal with that is for you to look at the list of the ones that are designated parks or designated Public Works, and you see that they're attached or linked to something else.
And then we won't let them go. We'll flag those so they don't go anywhere.
And the Public Works designation isn't really...
That was just the source of where it came from.
And only because years and years ago, the property manager lived at Public Works, and so it was just like an address. It would just say, Josephine County, care of Public Works, just because, you know, it was... It wasn't an official designation by board order, because you can't do that with Public Works. You can only designate parks or
so parks. Anything that says Public Works needs to be relooked at,
and most of them have been.
Okay.
Yeah, but and that's not to say that there aren't some that the money has to go back to Public Works because it was road dollars, but that we only know by looking at, you know, how did we acquire it? Did we get it by foreclosure?
And that's not included in the list?
It is, yeah.
So you don't have to work multiple places. Just looking at the list, we would be able to see.
The list are the ones that are designated, because if it was acquired other than foreclosure, we don't have that restriction of sending out to all the districts any longer. So, in other words, if we purchase the property,
right.
We get the money, because we didn't foreclose for taxes. So those weren't necessarily designated.
Okay.
But
that is sort of the general fund.
And it goes back to Public Works.
I think
I just don't want to send a message to Public Works that they can put something up for auction or whatever. Because you say you have a designated, but it's all you have under Public Works. The Public Works says, well, that's our piece of property, so we don't need it anymore, we'll just sell it off.
No, we...
I just don't want them to get the impression that that's what they can do, because it says Public Works in the description.
Yeah, they know. We know, because it wouldn't be designated, it would never be designated parks or forests, either one, if it was purchased with gas tax.
Is there something in our system that says before And it, like the land, the parcels we sold today, that the that everybody else in the room got to see those, did you see those to make sure that if that's just part of the process, is that all department heads, public work gets to take a look at that, forestry looks at it, parks looks at it, so we're not selling something off. I think that's part of the process right now.
I think that's part of the next process
Then that might just be all we needed to do anyway. Make sense?
Yeah, I just assume that we look at those and see if some of them need to even be redesignated to be
redesignated.
And I would ask that you be the one to do that, because I'm not going to know, like I said, what is going to affect your inventory. And the first place to start is you're the only one that knows what you need for your inventory. So someone from your office would be the best one to say, that one right there we need to deal with. And then legal can get it to us and we can get it designated differently or flagged or some way.
So where can I get that list from legal?
Yes.
Is the most accurate, up-to-date list?
Yeah, and it's probably not completely up-to-date at the moment. It's something that...
Can you feel him smiling behind you?
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
I think it might be a better thing, too, to get with Bob and see. Because I had no idea that it was different. You know, that the map would come out different somehow from what your expectation would be.
I sent out an email this morning to that, inviting Bob, Rob, and Sarah, and Simon. We need to sit down and talk about this.
That's a good idea.
To get this resolved, because it actually came up where Sarah was talking to one of my crew and told her this is kind of my Bible that I go to look at this map to see who owns it. Mm-hmm. And half of one of my tracks shows as parks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, why am I managing it if it's parks?
Yeah.
And in fact, we just had a timber sale that closed last year on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm like, now what?
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, that's good to know.
We'll get started on
it. Yeah.
That's a good idea. And yep. I agree with you. We need some, if you're looking at different things and they're not lining up at all, that's an issue.
Yeah. We need to have, in my opinion, we need to have kind of a clearinghouse that this is the most accurate, up-to-date list and map and who's managing each piece, and then I can certainly look at my stuff and make sure that other people know I need this. Don't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Without it happening.
Okay. And right now, to keep the policy in place, that you part of the process is that you take a look at all land sales, which I think is happening now.
Yes.
Okay.
You look at them far enough back though that they never get on the list.
Mike brings them to you, and you say, "Yeah."
Well, I didn't have any problems with the current list.
Okay.
Because if it's designated incorrectly, we can, you know, have a do-over. We can redesignate the other way.
Yes.
We haven't ever found a prohibition against doing that, so we can fix it.
All right. Are we good on that one?
Yes.
Do you have any matters from commissioners?
Oh, not sure Friday when I go out to Cave Junction, I'll probably have a whole list of them.
Senator Bearsugar's wife's memorial is Saturday at 1:00. I didn't know if I will obviously have to ask Commissioner Hare if he's attending, and if you're attending. I didn't know if that will be or not. I'm participating in a track meet all day. And so
I will attend. But are you looking for whether we need to notice that if it's there or
correct?
Or
I guess that's my question. We would be deliberating towards a county decision or interacting on county business. But
I will
social.
Okay.
Very long time on the different policy, but I
just want to make sure I bring it up so that.
Yeah.
I mean, out of respect, I want to make sure that we honor him. Have we sent a letter or a card or anything? Thank you. The only thing I, other than that, have is I would like to revisit the State of Jefferson letter resolution.
Okay.
And just kind of follow up with that.
General discussion?
Sure.
Okay.
I think that's all.
Do you want us to invite anybody to that, or basically just keep it within the...
No, I would like that to be in-house.
Okay,
we got the information already. We have the information kind of where it's at. I'd like us to... We haven't ever had a discussion just with us.
Okay.
And so I would like to follow up with that. I know mostly just an update on where we're at, especially with the CalExit kind of stuff going on. What's the impact of... to us, for our economy. I mean, there's a lot of rumblings right now that Illinois Valley wants to separate from Josephine County for the same purposes that they don't feel like they're having a voice beyond Grants Pass. And so it's just kind of curious as people want to be heard, they want representation. And you've been out there a lot, and yeah, the sheriff's office is out there a lot, but people are feeling like they're not getting their fair share. I don't know how you address those concerns other than you just keep taking one on at a time. Mm. But anyhow, I...
Well, I think a lot of them, not to butt in here, but I think, like, for instance, oh, yeah, we never see a sheriff out here, but yet the night I went out there with the sheriff, there's a sheriff, there, we met a car coming out of Cave Junction, and there were two more on each side of the road in Cave Junction. So that's four deputies there, and but nobody seems to notice. It's always, oh, we never see a sheriff out here. And I talked to Sheriff Daniels, and half of his patrol is in Illinois Valley every day. Mm-hmm. Because it's such a hotbed out there that he's, you know, really struggling with keeping that going out there. So I think a lot of it, I don't care if you put a cop on every corner, like Sheriff Lanson, or Chief Lanson, they won't notice anyway. Because of, you know, the talk is and the buzz is that we never go out there, but we do. And the talk and the buzz is the sheriff's never out there, but he is. So I don't know how you combat that. Plywood sheriff's cars and stuff on the side of the road don't get it.
Alrighty. So with that, we are going to be going into executive session. It is 3:05. Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session to review agenda. The decision will be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, board will return to open session. Welcome the audience back into the room, of which we only have staff and media present. Representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced and the four items that are listed on our executive session. First item, Josephine County versus Heidi Ann Hiltzheimer and Jason D. Smith, case number 17CV00940-RS192-6602H. Is a confidential memo regarding transfer of county programs to nonprofits, a confidential memo regarding loitering is head of courthouse, and a lease with CASA of Jackson County for county rural property.
Yes.
We have listed that items are in our packet, however, our packet only goes to page 80, so...
That's because that first item there isn't anything for it, it's just an update.
Okay, but these ones, 81 and 85, aren't there either?
They should be. Oh, I know what I did. Yep, you're right.
Okay, no worries.
Because when I revised it, I don't leave confidential stuff in the music.
Okay, so let me just get the recorder turned off and we'll get going.